We're going to be concluding this series that began a few weeks ago, Developing Thankful Hearts. As always, whenever I go through a series and bring it to a conclusion, I always feel like there's more to be said, there's more to be shared. Perhaps we have learned enough, hopefully, been challenged enough, hopefully, to carry this forth in our lives, to live it out. Because it's not about just hearing another lesson about it, it's about implementing what we learn. Today's lesson comes from Psalm 116, verse 17 and 19. For what I'm hoping will be some obvious reasons, I'm going to call this lesson A Sacrifice of Thanksgiving. Our text can be found on page 955 of the Pew Bibles if you want to read from there. It's just a couple of verses. The writer, who I believe is David, says, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call in the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord. Notice, I will sacrifice a thank offering. What's David talking about? What is a thank offering? What in the world is it? Well, according to the Old Covenant, certain sacrifices and offerings were commanded by God. Having said that, this particular kind of offering, this particular kind of thank offering, this sacrifice of thanksgiving, appears to have been optional. There were peace offerings, there were fellowship offerings, there were sin offerings, but this particular type of thank offering appears to have been optional. It was a free will offering. It was one that would come from a heart that was full of gratitude. Yet even though it was a free will offering, there were some rules when it came to the giving of it. And we can read about that in Leviticus 7, 11 through 15. It says there, these are the regulations for the fellowship offering a person may present to the Lord. See, regulations. If he offers it as an expression of thankfulness, then along with this thank offering, he is to offer cakes of bread made without yeast and mixed with oil, wafers made without yeast and spread with oil, and cakes of fine flour well kneaded and mixed with oil. Along with this fellowship offering of thanksgiving, he is to present an offering with cakes of bread made with yeast. He is to bring one of each kind of an offering, a contribution to the Lord. It belongs to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the fellowship offerings. The meat of his fellowship offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the day it is offered. He must leave none of it till morning. So here we're told in this text, these regulations, we're told what to bring and how to be prepared. So they're supposed to bring roasted meat, unleavened bread with wafers mixed with oil, and cakes made with yeast, which is interesting. With all these rules attached, we might think, well, wait a minute, how can it be then a thank offering? How is it truly coming from my heart if it's got all these rules and regulations that go along with it? Well, I want you to think of it this way. Suppose you were moved to bake a cake for China's birthday. Now, maybe you don't know who I'm talking about, but China's a real sweet young lady and is attending the church here for a long time. But you're moved to bake a cake for her. Her mom, Bibi, says that's not necessary. But if you really insist, you really want to do this, China has a peanut allergy. So if you're going to do this, there can't be any nuts in the recipe. She also tells you that they're leaving town tomorrow afternoon, so if you're going to do this, you're really going to do it, if you want to do this, it's going to be dropped off in the morning. And oh yeah. She insists that you can't just drop it off, you have to stay. You got to stay and have a piece of the cake with them. It's totally up to you. But if you choose to do it, some instructions have to be followed. When you think about it, part of any sacrifice to God involves surrendering our will for His. Even a thank offering. So often I think we're quite willing to serve or to give as long as it's on our terms. It's got to be according to our schedule. It's got to fit comfortably into our plans. Heaven forbid that any of us would ever be inconvenienced. We'll give an offering as long as it comes out of our extra time, our extra money, our extra energy. Offer God, in a sense, our leftovers. God deserves far more than that, doesn't he? I mean, if it's really coming from our heart as an offering of thanksgiving, then we're not going to just give leftovers and scraps. We're going to be thinking about what is it that he desires? What is it that would please him? What is it that truly honors him? Sometimes this thank offering was made to thank God for his deliverance, and it so often was accompanying a vow or the making of a pledge. That's the case in our text today. But consider also these words from the Psalms. In Psalm 56, David declares, "I'm under vows to you, God. I'll present my thank offerings to you. For you've delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." See, he's presenting a thank offering. But attached to it is the idea of a vow that he's making, a pledge that he's making because of God's deliverance. Giving a thank offering is normally a personal thing. David doing it himself. But there are times when the whole community would be recognizing and remembering the goodness of God, and the community would gather for a thank offering. Psalm 107 tells us that let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. You see, for them to give something special to God as their means of saying thank you for what you've done, not because it was commanded, not because it was demanded, but because their hearts were moved to do it. They just wanted to express thanks. In Psalm 107, see the idea of the whole community of God's people coming together to give a thank offering. We do that quite regularly here at Calvary. Maybe you haven't thought of it that way. But our gatherings for praise and worship and expressions of thanksgiving, it's a community thank offering. Or at least it should be. At least it should be. But we on an individual level need to be looking at what has God done for me and expressing our thanksgiving to him. Not because it's demanded, not because it's commanded, but because our hearts tell us to. Our hearts tell us to. No wonder thank offerings were often made as a part of a rededication or a renewal. The occasion of Hezekiah's reformation in 2 Corinthians 29:31 is a wonderful example. I encourage you to go and read that entire chapter, 2 Chronicles 29. As the people are gathering, this community is gathering, and together they express thanksgiving and praise to God. Manasseh repents in 2 Chronicles 33:15-16, and a similar thing happens as he calls the people to this place of gratitude, recognizing that I have asked you to forgive me, God, and you have, no matter what I've done, no matter where I've been, that you forgive me again and again. And they gathered in this community, thanked God in sacrifices. What if this Thanksgiving, this coming Thursday, we not only said grace, but we also dedicated ourselves to service? What if we did that? What if we expressed gratitude, but also gave our hearts, not just our thanks? What if we not only said amen to let's eat, but agreed to live lives of gratitude to God? What if we not only enjoyed a wonderful meal, but we also joined in a commitment to the one who provided it? What if we did that? I think that could be a game changer. And isn't that what Thanksgiving really ought to be all about? Isn't it about really recognizing what God has done for us and then saying, God, this is what I want to do for you. This is what I want to do for you. And of course, anything that we give to God, we offer to God, it's already His in the first place. How many of you can remember as children, some of you may be still doing this, wanting to give something to your father, but not having anything to give, you go to dad and say, Dad, could I borrow some money so that I can go buy your birthday gift or your Christmas gift? Can I do that? Or maybe not. Maybe we go to mom, and mom, out of the pool that's a good part of it, dad's, still gives to us so that we can give to him. That's what we're doing here, even in a thank offering. We're not giving him anything that doesn't already belong to him. He's blessed us with it, and we return it. We give it. We give of what he has blessed us with to him. We return it to him in a sense and just say, thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for how you've blessed me. On the other hand, though, what we give him already belongs to him. The words that flow from us are uniquely ours. And that's what makes this Thanksgiving offering, this sacrifice of Thanksgiving, so precious to him. Because what we're giving to him is not just the offering. We're offering ourselves. We're offering our hearts. We're offering our praise. We're offering our thanksgiving, expressed in our words from our hearts. And that's something that only we can give him. No one else can really do it for you. I appreciate so much when we sing songs that have the concept, the idea in them of thanksgiving. Someone else has penned the words, and we can make those words ours. We really can. We can make those words ours. We can claim them and use them to express from our hearts what we feel, the gratitude that we have. But there's nothing like expressing it yourself in your own words too. I would challenge you this week to take some time and not count your blessings necessarily, although there's goodness in that. There's benefit in that. But just count yourself blessed. Count yourself blessed. And think about, how would I tell God from my own heart, how do I want to tell him how thankful I am? How do I want to express that in your own words? And maybe you'll say, I don't have the words. If that's really the truth and that's coming from your heart, guess what? He hears the words of your heart you can't even express, that you can't write down, that you can't articulate, because he looks into thankful hearts and he takes that as a thanks offering. And when we do that, we honor him. We honor him with the sacrifice. We honor him with gratitude. It seems strange, maybe at first, when we look at the regulations for this offering, that yeast is included. Remember, there were those cakes and that bread that was unleavened, but there were also to be some leavened cakes, some cakes with yeast. Seems strange in this Thanksgiving meal, because so often in Scripture, yeast or leaven is a symbol of something impure or sinful. It is something that is always presented as not a good thing. So it might seem odd that we would bring our imperfection, our brokenness, our sin even, to the altar. Is that what that's a symbol of? I wonder. I do know this. Until we bring him that offering, he's not really interested in what else we might bring. Until we come to him and lay our sin on the altar. See, there's that sin offering, if you will. Until we admit that, confess that, we don't receive the forgiveness, and our gratitude is not going to overflow as it should. Some have suggested that the yeast, the leaven in this thanks offering might just be that idea, that concept again of being thankful for everything, even the not so good things in our life. Honesty time. How many of you thank God for the snow? A couple did. I bet you didn't have to shovel it. No, I know there's people in town who are very thankful that they make their living, you know, clearing snow. They were very thankful. My first response, I will be honest, was not Thanksgiving. It wasn't. It was like, oh, man, I'm not ready for this. And especially not this much, this soon, I'm not ready. And it kind of like was dampening my spirits. I wasn't very thankful. And I went out at 10 o'clock on Friday night shoveling, and I wasn't that thankful. And I went out at 10 o'clock the next morning, shoveled again. I wasn't that thankful. It was 3 o'clock on the final shovel. That once again, I had communicated with some people who were having difficulty. They couldn't shovel for themselves. They couldn't get out. And I found myself thanking God that I could shovel. Thank God that I still could do that. That I was still able to clear that. Thanking God that I had a warm house to go into after each shoveling. Thank God for the homemade chili Nina made. Thank God for the coffee that warmed me waiting on the chili. Thanking God for those blessings. And you know what? I don't know that I would have thanked God for those things the way I did yesterday if not for the snow. And as always, when the snow comes, like it does, I can't help but think of Isaiah's words, "Come, let's reason together. Though our sins be as scarlet, God will make them as white as snow." And I remember I'm forgiven. And not just a little forgiveness, as we talked about last week, lavished upon us. I don't know how many inches of snow we got, but it reminded me of how, you know what, every time I need to be forgiven, God forgives. Every time I ask, He forgives. He showers down His grace and His mercy, and I'm made as white as snow. I don't deserve it, but I praise God for it, and I'm thankful for it. Are you? So even in that situation, I was reminded of how I needed to be thankful for all things. Something else that strikes us maybe as a little strange is that after this was offered to God, the priest was to be invited to join the one making the offering in eating it as part of a meal. Wow. I want you to think about that a bit. Matter of fact, I might use words. I'd like you to chew on that a little bit. Well, I will anyway. The offering, okay, was, some versions will say it's a wave offering or a heave offering that was being made. So the idea was is that after it was offered on the altar, then you would take it off of there, see, because it wasn't to be all burnt up. After it was put on the altar, then you took it off and you presented it to God symbolically. Thank you, God, I offer this to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I offer this to you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm going to have... I'm going to put this away for now. But if you remember the text, I have to eat it by morning. I do. That's what it said. We have to eat the meat by morning. So, I'll be going back to that and have some more. Thank you, Lord. I'll be able to do that. Hey, wait a minute. It's entirely biblical then, isn't it? To go back for seconds. Right? Right? And even thirds, because if I need to, in my humble opinion, fourths might be gluttony, but I better finish it in thirds. But to go back and enjoy. This is fellowship meal. This Thanksgiving offering. That we get to share in it.
that we get to enjoy it. I'm sorry.
That's good. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. But don't miss this. A sacrifice of thanksgiving blesses the giver. I'll say that again. A sacrifice of thanksgiving blesses the giver. God is blessed, but so is the giver. Consider Paul's words in the second letter to the Corinthians. In verse 6 of chapter 9, he says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly also reaps sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give." Notice, not reluctantly, under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." And if you look down to verse 11 says, "And the result will be thanks to God." Thanks to God. Thanks to God. The result will be thanks to God. We are blessed, and God is praised. God receives thanksgiving. The term for cheerful here is the word that we get hilarious from. The cheerful giver. Hilarious. There's a joy that comes from a free will offering of thanksgiving, giving in gratitude that the world may never understand. It comes from knowing that God provides not just the bare minimum of what we need, but so much more. Enough to enjoy for ourselves and to share with others. I can't help but think of communion, referred to as early as the first century as the Eucharist, which means giving thanks. Brother Dave read from 1 Corinthians 10 earlier, this cup of thanksgiving. It's a thanksgiving feast. The Lord's Supper is a thanksgiving feast. It's a meal of thanksgiving. We remember what God has done for us in the sacrifice of His Son on the cross, and we express our gratitude to Him. In the process, though, hear me, we also dine with the priest. We dine with the high priest, Christ Jesus. Don't we? We commune with Him. We commune with one another. The family, the community comes together and shares in a thanksgiving feast. Huh. Is that a wonderful thing? It's a beautiful thing. And when we give thanks for the bread, we give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Is it that little wafer? Is it that little cup of juice we're really expressing our gratitude for? Yes and no. Because we thank God for the body and the blood of Jesus that was given for us, that we can have this oneness with God and one another, this communion, this union, this fellowship, this feasting together, not on the wafer and the juice, but on the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Amen? And should we not be thankful? No wonder it's called the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving meal. But think too, as we do that, aren't we also prompted to make solemn pledges to God, to gratefully serve Him all the days of our life? If you've not thought of it that way, you should. Because with a thanksgiving offering, say there's a pledge as well, an expression of gratitude, a rededication, a renewal, that I will live my life for you, God, after all that you've done for me.
all that you've given, all that you provide, all the blessings that you've laid at my feet, I offer them to you, and I offer my heart. And where my heart goes, there I go too. There I go too. In Psalm 50, verse 23, this is God speaking to the psalmist. He says, he who sacrifices thank offerings honors me. Honors me. Why? Because it comes from the heart. Because it comes from the heart. And it truly recognizes him. The rest of the verse says, and he, the one who makes his sacrifice, prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. Thankfulness, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, prepares the way. Prepares the way for what? Prepares the way for God to reveal himself to us, his love, his mercy, his grace, and the plan of salvation. The redemption, the forgiveness. It opens our hearts to God so we can better comprehend and understand and accept this message, this good news that God blesses us and he loves us and he wants to bless us even more than we've thus far experienced. See, there's joy in that. There's goodness in that. And may I encourage you to go back for a second helping today. And I don't mean a food. Go back and enjoy and celebrate, once again, what God has done for you in Jesus. Express gratitude to him again and again and again. And yes, as you say grace on Thursday, don't just say words. Let it be from your heart. But make it a sacrifice of thanksgiving by giving God your heart. And notice, it seems almost that there's this blessing of the joy of this revelation of his salvation that is a bit contingent on a partnership of thanksgiving. For in the verse, God says, so that I may show him. Not that I will. There's something again about that gratitude, that heart of gratitude that opens the heart for God to bless us with this revelation of what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do yet. And with that comes joy, gratitude. I was challenged this week too to be thanking God for everything and not even thinking about the bad things now, but be thinking about the little things that we so often take for granted we don't give any notice to. I was challenged to thank God for toothpaste, soap, hot water, toilet paper. Think about it. So many things we are blessed with that are part of our everyday routine that not everyone has. Not everyone has access to. Not everyone has the benefit of. And if you begin to think about the little things, you'll certainly be grateful for those, and it will move you to be grateful for the greatest thing of all. God's love in Jesus Christ. The reality is, he made the biggest sacrifice ever. And when we express gratitude for that, it removes barriers to our faith, obstacles in our thinking, removes anything that opposes God's blessing of joy in our hearts. And then he can show us what real love is. And we'll overflow with even more gratitude.